I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, please. I obviously am moved as I consider moms and mothers. So often I neglect to contemplate the blessing of my mother in my life. As I consider Sharon Beth McGill, I remember that God spared her life in a head-on collision. I remember how God brought my grandmother and grandfather to faith in Christ when my mom was young. First-generation Christians, my grandparents, had the opportunity to raise their only daughter in the faith. I think of Zelia Jane McGill, my grandmother, who was a woman of great prayer. And I don't know if many of you had the opportunity to meet her. She passed away back in 2015, but I do believe she had spent some time here. But such a precious woman, as I know that she prayed for my mother and discipled my mother through the years and then prayed for us as grandkids. The woman that my mom is today, I realize, is so much of a result of what God did in the work of my grandmother. And this is partly what I believe God wants to challenge our hearts with today. As you heard it in my prayer, we are in a world that's got things all messed up. And I don't have to go into detail and explain all of this to you because you see it. You hear about this. But the tragic thing is, our young people, this up and coming generation, are being fed lies. Lies such as motherhood is not a high calling. You put up with it if you have to, but there's other things that are better. Would you agree with me that that would be a message of the world? Yeah. Children are a burden. Would you agree that's a message of the world? Now, I realize you could take my statements out of context and call me a heretic. All right. Lies. Our world is full of lies. And our world wants to feed us, and especially the younger generations, they feed them lies and fashion them into their little disciples so that this world, America, our culture, grows up to be further and further and further away from God. Yeah. That's the strategy. And young people, that's the strategy. That's what's happening. That's what you're being fed. Who's to counter that? Who's to stand in the gap and say, no, that's a lie. That's a lie. Who's to correct and who's to shield and to say, no, we're not going that way. Yeah. You know, ultimately, it is the Church of Jesus Christ, and then more specifically, as you consider your own individual family. Oh, I know that there are broken families. And I know that in churches, sometimes only one member of the family comes. But what an opportunity to love one another as we can stand together as the family of God and make sure truth is clearly heard and lies confronted. Titus was tasked to be an elder and leader of a church, and he is discipled and instructed by the Apostle Paul. In chapter 2 of Titus, verse 1, we read, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you." One of the things that has been shared with me is that when Mother's Day comes, the message is often favorable and words of blessing. And I confess, Mother's Day messages are one of the hardest messages to preach, because I'm not one. And I'm not a woman. I don't understand what it means to be a mother personally. And so therefore, the fear is that how dare you get up there and tell us how to be moms. Titus might have dealt with something like that too. But praise the Lord for his word. Because what we have in here is what God wants the church to hear, and somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to preach it. Ladies need to hear this. I know, it says, talks about aged men, verse 2. Any aged men here today? I am excited that I'm finally getting gray hair. And it's a promotion. I'm excited to join the ranks. So there's aged men, there's aged women. I won't ask because you won't tell me anyway. But there is a message here. And look at verse 2. It says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. So these are the things that Titus, you're to speak. Sound doctrine. Verse 3. "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Now, we've got to stop there for a moment and establish something that God has designed in His church. Is it's not made up of just men. It's not a men's club. Okay? On the flip side, it's not a women's club. But sadly, so many churches today are majority women. But it's not just a women's club. It's men, women, older men, older women, younger men, younger women, children. It's all right in the text. And so there's, Titus, you have instructions, you have sound doctrine to share with them. Now, the older women are tasked to be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So older women, and I'll let you identify yourself. Older women, which, just so you know, if you've got other women that are younger than you, then you are a... Oh, okay. Just clarifying that a little bit. That would mean that even if you are an older sister and you've got younger sisters, you know, think about this. Opportunities to share, to teach. And so there is this older women, it says, are to teach the young women, verse 4. I'm so glad for that, because you older women understand what it means to be a woman much better than I do. And so you are going to be the best teachers for our younger women. All right. Are you teaching younger women? Why or why not? I know these kind of questions make us squirm, but we're not coming here just to get ourselves patted on the back. Or, you know, we want to engage with the truth. And you're reading it, all right? Older women are to teach the younger women. Are you engaged in that ministry? Because get this, listen, the younger generation needs you. They need you. I know it's more comfortable to stay with those that we are familiar with, we live life with. But the younger generation needs you older women. Get creative. Get creative in the ways that you can minister in their lives. And you know what? The younger generation, sadly, has been taught, especially here in America, to have it's increasingly so, lack of respect for the older generation. I know that. I see that. I mean, you don't have to go far to see that the younger generations could care less about those who are older. And I know I'm using strong terminology, but that's the way it is in our world. That's what the world is feeding us. We don't need older people telling us how to live. They don't understand our lives, you know, they don't understand our technology. And so you just have peer groups. Older women are to be teaching the younger women. So the frustrating thing about it is, probably older women, maybe you've tried this and you try to engage with younger women and they just don't care. They don't have an interest. They don't want to spend time with you. What do we do? How do we handle this? It is teaching like this from the pulpit that God can use to prick a young heart to say, I got to stop disrespecting those that are older than me and start listening and caring about what the older ladies can teach me in my life. If the text tells the older women to teach the younger women, it means the younger women need to be taught. So let me ask you a question. Are you willing to be taught? For a long time, I have said this. One of the greatest qualities of godliness that I have seen. Now, this is just Josh Federoff speaking, but I have seen it over and over, is a teachable heart. Wow. If you have a teachable heart, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that, a humility, right? You got a teachable heart, it goes a long way. Do you have a teachable heart, young lady? What is the older women to teach the young women? Ooh, siren's going off now. Because now we've got this quote-unquote ancient book telling us how we're supposed to live. And this is not how I see life. Okay, it's a lie of our culture. A lie of our culture that says that this is an outdated book. It's not. It's got truth. It's true. It is truth for you that applies today. Now look at this. This is good teaching. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Now, our world has some problems with some, if not all, of those things. Our world has adopted the word family. They like the word husband. They like the word wife. But they are beginning to define them in their own ways. But ultimately, they're getting it from the scriptures. The young, older women are to teach the young women to be sober. To have a clear mind. To love their husbands. Now you might say, well, I'm not married, so I guess that disqualifies me. Well, let's just put it this way. If you are married, if you're a young woman and you are married, the older woman is to teach you to love your husband. So you know what that means, older women? Is that you are not spending time with these younger women gossiping about their husbands and just feeding the fuel of angst and bitterness. But rather, you're pointing them to the truth of the scriptures to help solidify in them their relationship with God, that they might be able to stand strong in the Lord, perhaps in a difficult relationship. But you need to teach them to love their husbands. That is something that on the wedding day, got it, no problem. But a few months, sometimes it's even weeks down the road, and loving the husband, oof, could be hard. Teach them to love their children. Yes, children is what God has given to us that this world might be filled with God's glory. Think about this. The command to Adam and Eve was given before the curse to fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply. Why would God want the earth filled with people? Because it is the people that sing His praises. Think of the view in Revelation around the throne. You don't see horses and dogs and cats. You see people. And those people are children that were born, that God gave to mothers like you, to families, that they might be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Love your children. Oh, to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home. And, you know, these words speaking of carefulness and purity and keepers at home. Whoa. Home. This is a very key part of this discussion. Home. Where do you call home? Think about that one for a moment. Where do you call home? I know as I was growing up, if you would have asked me where was my home, I would have told you that it was this certain place, this certain house, and certain people. My family. These people that love and care for me in my life and are investing in me. You know, this idea of being keepers at home is a struggle, I know. Women have wrestled with this for years and have fought against this identity of I've got to be somebody, a keeper at home. Why is that? It's because our world feeds this whole idea that the home is a bad place. It is a place of bondage. You cannot fulfill your dreams and be free if you're a keeper at home. And so this negative connotation is fed into our young people, into our lives, even as older ones, older adults. And so we start to believe this. And yet the scripture says the older women are teaching younger women to be keepers at home. Is that because is it a good thing or a bad thing? If God is telling us that you're to be teaching this, it must be a really good thing. And we've got to stop adopting these lies and get it. They filter in ever so slyly, just crafty. And we start to believe, oh man, I've got to be at home. Keepers at home, teach them to be good. How about obedient to their own husbands? Boy, when I do premarital counseling, I confess to the lady, you have a hard role. Because the Bible tells you that you are in a role of submission. I realize that. But in the same token, the husband has a high calling to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And each are given their individual roles that complement one another perfectly, exactly the way God has designed it to be. Praise be to God for his design. And so this idea of being obedient unto your husbands, yes, is a Christian understanding, a Christian terminology. You're not going to find that in the world. It's going to be repulsed by the world. Does God just want women to be slaves and in bondage? Is that what you see the Bible say? I mean, the world's going to say that's what the Bible is teaching. You're just going to be some slave to a man for the rest of your life. And I'm sounding cynical, and I don't mean to be like that, but I want us to realize and identify the lies that are being purported out there. You got to see it for what it is. And how are you going to see it? You're going to be confronted with truth here. You see the lies out there, so then you got a decision to make. You got a comparison. So what are you going to trust? If the Word of God says older women are to teach the younger women to obey their husbands, then that must be a good thing. Let me understand it better. Let me unwrap the truth. If God says this, then it must be a good thing for me, young ladies. And so therefore, God help me to understand what it means to be obedient to my husband. And husbands, just, you know, I like to tell the husbands, create an environment where your wife can just bloom and blossom in her role, where she can live in a submissive manner, and it's the joy of her life. Create that kind of environment in your home. Obedient to their own husbands. Now, verse 5 ends with this statement, that the word of God be not blasphemed. There's a series of markers that I believe are important for you to see. Like, in other words, why in the world are we supposed to do this? The first marker that you see in the text is at the end of verse 5 that says that the word of God be not blasphemed. So why is the church supposed to operate this way? And why are we preaching today a Mother's Day that older women are to teach the younger women these kinds of things? Why? That the word of God is not blasphemed. How could the word of God be blasphemed? Who are you? Who do you identify yourself as? I identify myself as a Christian. I'm a follower of God and a follower of His Word. But if I go out there in the world and I mistreat my wife, if I live immorally, but I wear the t-shirt that says I'm a Christian and I follow God's Word, the world's going to look at the Word of God and say, yeah, right. I don't want a part of that. There's no difference. So what's the markers we could expect from applying this? Well, one is that the Word of God is not going to be blasphemed. In other words, it's going to be upheld as good and right and firm and solid. Is your life affirming the Word of God? Is my life affirming the Word of God? Verse 6 has instructions to the young men. Verse 8 continues that. And you have our second marker. Verse 8 reads, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Here it is. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You are establishing a reputation by the way you live your life. By the words you say, by the way you look, all of the way you act. You are establishing a reputation. And you're establishing a reputation of yourself, but also of the Lord that you claim to serve. And those who dislike you or who are contrary to you, they can look at your life and my life, and if they see you living in a way that's inconsistent, they're going to grab a hold of that and say, "Ah, you're a farce. You're a hypocrite." How many of us have heard that? I'm not going to go to church. It's a place full of hypocrites. If we are faithful to practice and to teach what we have read this morning, we will be able to see that he that is of the contrary part, they may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. Is that a desire of your heart? You know, so often we can just try to toe the line. And quick, get over here. Here comes so-and-so. And I want to be like this over here. But now here comes other people, and so I'm going to go over on this side and live this way. Those kinds of inconsistencies are picked up. So does your life affirm the Word of God? Is your life a consistent depiction of Jesus? People are watching you. Whether you like it or not, they're watching you. The text continues, or verse 9, speaking of servants and their masters. In verse 10, we have our third marker. We read, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Here it is, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Adorn. That's the picture of just putting on, of being clothed with. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. What is that doctrine of God, our Savior? We're going to read on. It's laid right out for us. Is your life affirming the Word of God? Is your life a consistent depiction of Jesus? Is your life displaying the gospel? Wow. The gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. This teaching of God our Savior. Can people from your life and the way you live, can they glean the truth of the gospel and understand what it means to be saved? Or are they left with confusion? Are they left with a mess? Are they left with, oh, just be a good person and God won't, He might let you in? Our life is a billboard. It ought to be of the goodness, the gospel of Jesus. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Yes. Does your life display the gospel? The good news of Jesus, His grace, His salvation. You realize that someone who has been saved is somebody's life, their life is impacted by that reality. You live differently when you understand the gravity of what Jesus has done for you in your life. You just can't help it because you know you are in your sin, dead in trespasses and sin. But God, through His great love and His mercy, He has saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Your life and my life needs to be a billboard of the gospel. Is that true of your life? I know that this message is more than just for mothers, isn't it? It's for all generations and all people. We've got a role to play. We have been called to a way of life. The Word of God needs to be affirmed. We need to be a consistent depiction of Jesus and the gospel. Needs to be on display. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. Did you hear that? He gave Himself for us. Wow. That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto Himself, a peculiar people. That's a unique and special people. Zealous of good works. the gospel. And it does more than just save us. It guides us, helps us to live, provides purpose and meaning for every day. You are someone that God gave himself for. He's redeemed you from all iniquity, and he's purifying you, and one day we'll be before him. That's that blessed hope. So, I think we all have some things to think about. And we can't point the finger anywhere else but the Word of God. Because this is what we're supposed to speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Let's bow our heads. And Lord, I'm realizing that as we hear these words, that that you are the best one to apply them in our lives. Because you know each and every heart today. I have sensed at various times, Lord, my spirit is frustrated. And I, God, do not want to be in the way of the power of your precious word. So have your way today in each heart. And my prayer is, in agreement, I believe, with your word, that we be a people that are clearly yours. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Just take some moments in the quietness of your heart to consider what you have learned today. Won't you talk with the Lord? He already knows, but he wants to hear your heart. He wants to know. And it's so good to communicate with him the things that you have learned, the things you've been challenged with or encouraged by. Won't you take a moment and share that with him? Thank you, God. Amen. Paul writes to Timothy, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you. There are some flowers that the children will be giving to you. And again, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives.